Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome into the NFL Free For All Show. I'm your host, Brian Hughes. Alongside with me is my co-host, Mr. Norm Arendes. Tonight we'll be talking about the team needs for both the NFC North and the NFC South. We'll also be discussing news and notes from around the league. But before we go any further, let me go ahead and bring in my co-host, Mr. Norm Arendes. How you doing tonight?
Doing good, my friend. Ready to get this party started.
All right, well, we do have plenty of things to talk about, you know, as far as the show is concerned. I did want to kind of go over the news and notes from the last week or so we can discuss some of those topics. And then as well, we'll get into the team needs for the NFC South and the NFC North, which I think is pretty compelling. So news and notes from the last week. Norm, I kind of picked and choose some interesting topics. Luke Kuechly, as you know, all-pro inside linebacker for the Carolina Panthers, recently retired, was recently questioned and said that he actually is looking to continue a career in the NFL, just not as a player. He'd now like to transition to being a coach. He's only 28 years old, has been widely touted as a very knowledgeable guy that got by on less on athletic ability and basically overall operation. What's your thoughts on Luke Kuechly and his, you know, would you give him, if you're an organization, would you give a young guy like this an opportunity to potentially be a linebackers coach or an assistant defensive coach for you?
Absolutely. When you think about it, I mean, he arguably could have been one of the better or the best middle linebackers in the last 5 years. Again, arguably, definitely has the stats to support it with tackles and, again, a very smart player. So when you bring in a young coach like that that's still in tune with, you know, some 22, 23-year-olds coming up, they do look at him because, again, they were probably exiting high school, entering college with him as their idol. So for him to be able to coach them, maybe you make a connection. I think it's a totally good move because he's a smart guy. you know, a lot of people have questioned, what does he mean by that? Does he want to be in the booth calling games? We'll see. I mean, if he wants money to extend his life in the NFL, he'll go to the booth. There's a lot more money for him to be made. If he wants to eventually try to become a head coach or a defensive coordinator at some point, yeah, he's going to have to start at the bottom as like a positions coach at the minimum, and really work his way through.
Yeah, and you know what? The more and more I think about this, Norm, I actually think this is a really, really smart idea for organizations, right? So whether this is a homegrown talent, you know, and I'm just going to, you know, kind of refer this back to, you know, my own team, the 49ers, but, you know, when you have a guy like Patrick Willis or Navarro Bowman or these guys that retire, like how cool as a young guy would it be to come in and learn the craft from a guy that was just doing it recently, as opposed to a guy that maybe did it 20 years ago at a high level. You know, I just think that, you know, getting some of these guys that have more recently retired, it kind of adds instant credibility to your defensive room, right? Because you're talking about a guy that was an all-pro within the last 3 years. I mean, we're talking about instantly credibility. We're talking about a guy that could suit up right now and probably be a top five middle linebacker in the league. So I think you immediately garner respect and attention to whatever the guy says moving in. And like you said, with what they actually pay defensive assistants, I mean, we're not talking like player salaries. You know, you're probably talking $100,000 or $150,000 a year as opposed to $15 million a year. And I think just from the credibility standpoint and the fanfare of still having this guy as a part of your organization, if, you know, if he is was really interested in coaching, whether you wanted him or not, I mean, if I was Carolina, the first thing I would do is reach out and be like, hey, you know what, we'd love to have you as a defensive assistant. You know, I just feel like that would be a smart move. What's your thoughts? Yeah.
No, I completely agree, you know, and I kind of think, though, that Carolina may not be the best spot for him only because he was there. And so it's kind of one of those things where because it's so close to home, it might not be the best match. But I could see him definitely going to some place where he had a defensive coordinator he loved or a head coach like Ron Rivera at Washington. So.
Absolutely. So the next story up, LeSean McCoy, most people are aware of the running back, the famed running back being an all-pro for the Philadelphia Eagles. But a lot of people forget that he was actually on your squad last year, Norm. The Kansas City Chiefs, he came to play for his old head coach, Andy Reid. And he didn't even make the Super Bowl roster. He was actually inactive during that game. However, he did make the all-decade team that was recently announced. He is a free agent right now. Says he wants to play two more years in the NFL. He currently ranks in the top 20 all-time in rushing yards. The only other two active players on that list, Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore. What's your thoughts, since he was on your team, what's your thoughts on Shady McCoy, his prospects of continuing his NFL career? Do you see him as someone that can still contribute? And then B, like on a larger scale, do you think his legacy will be that of a Hall of Famer or just a really good player?
Yeah, so when you want me to name off some of the best running backs I've seen in the last 10 years, McCoy doesn't come to mind for me. But again, I didn't follow the Eagles that well. I wasn't there. He definitely has some stats to support it, but it doesn't come to mind. It's one of those things that as I name off the top guys, if you threw his name out there, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I could see him fitting in. But he doesn't come to mind for me. But nowadays, I think really all it takes is stats. So, I mean, he probably will get in eventually. But I'll say this, Shady McCoy's done, dude. And the reason why he fucked up in Kansas City is because he couldn't hold on to the ball. You know, he started this whole, like, get out in the open field and I wave the ball around like it's a towel on my freaking waist. And he had so many fumbles. And with Kansas City, the only thing that would really put them out of a ball game was turnovers. KC was in every game last year, and obviously they won a lot, but they could ill afford to have turnovers. And Shady McCoy's early turnovers put him as a healthy scratch on the back end of the year. And they couldn't overcome that. They couldn't trust him because he wouldn't fix his problem. So when you look at all the running backs on the market still, I think there's younger – I'm not going to say better options, but there's younger options. The NFL is all about bringing in youth at a good price. McCoy, as a veteran, is going to demand a little bit more of a price because I think the league minimum for vets a little higher. I don't think he comes back. And I'll liken him to another guy I loved the most was Jamaal Charles. Jamaal Charles, a man with explosive spits home runs all day. And when Casey let him go, he couldn't find a fit in Denver. And nobody took a flyer on him. Really upset me because with his speed, I still thought he had some years left. No one went for it. McCoy's going down the same way, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I wonder, Norm, and this is just me kind of thinking outside the box, and you tell me if I'm kind of going down a rabbit hole or not here, but I agree with you on the youth movement. I think most teams would, you know, if all things are equal, right, I think most teams would prefer to have a younger player for obvious reasons. Like you said, cheaper, Usually they're under team control longer. I mean, there's a variety of reasons. But I just wonder, in this day and age, with the epidemic of COVID-19 and teams not really being able to practice, with teams not being able to meet up together, with the draft being held, you know, via the internet, if you will, which is just unheard of. I mean, eventually it might get to that point. I just wonder if you are a veteran team or you are a playoff-bound team, you know, would you rather have a guy that's maybe slightly on the decline but knows the system, knows how to pick up blocks? Because I do have a feeling, even if the NFL starts on time, I do have a feeling that we are going to have reduced practice time for these teams, and that a lot of these rookies that would normally have started are probably not going to get the opportunity to start right out of the box just based on the fact that they're not going to get enough time to learn the playbook.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. I don't have the chart in front of me, but if you pull up the top five remaining free agent running backs, I guarantee you all of them can block better than C.J. McCoy. So I still think there's more options. So the scenario you're shaping out, is it there? Sure, but they have multiple people to pick from, not just Shady McCoy. And I just think Shady McCoy, unfortunately, is on the outside looking in.
All right. So yesterday, and I feel like me and you're going to disagree on this one, but I think it'll be a healthy debate. So yesterday, the Carolina Panthers inked Christian McCaffrey to a four-year, $64 million deal, which equates out to $16 million a year. It's $1 million more than Ezekiel Elliott. He is now the highest-paid running back. Is this a good deal? Was this a good deal for Carolina, and is this a good deal for Christian?
Yeah, I think it's a good deal for both. I mean, right now, any top running back in the league is going to want to be the highest paid, and Christian McCaffrey definitely is in his prime, and he is, in my opinion, one of the top three running backs in the NFL. So good deal for him. He got his money. And the only reason why I say good deal for Carolina Panthers, even though you know how much I don't like paying running backs, is the fact that they don't have an identity other than him right now. You brought in Teddy Bridgewater on I think it was only a three-year deal. So that's kind of a you know, it was a good signing by them saying, hey, this is going to help us bridge the gap, but they still have to look long-term beyond Teddy. So the deal works because they don't have to pay their quarterback a lot of money. Again, the Panthers are a team that I don't see making the playoffs, 8-8 at best. So you know what? Pay McCaffrey. He's worth it. Keep him there. At least it keeps you guys competitive. It sells jerseys, and it gives your team an identity. My only fear, though, is that you know, he's going to get injured within the next 3 years because he's going to get run down.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair point. I'm actually kind of so surprised that we agree, but I agree with you. So just looking over the numbers and the dollars and cents and all that, so Christian McCaffrey had 2,500 scrimmage yards last year. Not only did he have 1,400 receiving yards, he had over 1,000 yards receiving. He was basically their number one wide receiver in addition to being their best back. So I think when you look at, hey, I'm paying $16 million a year, but what am I getting out of that? I'm getting a number one receiver. I'm getting a number one running back type production. It's pretty good. And as you've already alluded to, this was the last year on his current deal, his rookie deal, and he's only 23 years old. So even extending him out 4 years, you're talking about him basically the end of the contract, he's going to be 28. He's going to be right in his prime. So I think it's going to be a good deal, end up being a good deal for both of those guys. I don't foresee him not being a guy that's a 1,000, you know, 1,000-yard rusher, 1,000-yard receiver. And in that case, to me, you're a lot more than just a running back. You're a weapon. So that's how I feel. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, no, that's exactly my point exactly, and it kind of puts him, it puts them right at that spot where Teddy Bridgewater's contract, it will be over in 3 years. They have him on retainer for one. They can cut him if they want to go another direction, or they can let him roll if they have a different option at quarterback. I think it just works for their program, what they're doing. Again, they're not in a position really to they made a coaching change. Keekly retires. Don't really have a quarterback. I'm sorry, no disrespect to Bridgewater, but it's new. They're not going to be making any kind of run anytime soon.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's fair, honestly. I think anytime you go through a major overhaul offensively, you upheave the current quarterback, you bring in a new one. I do think that Teddy Bridgewater is a good young quarterback. I do think he's probably right around the 15 mark. You know, there's 32 teams. I'd say he's right about middle of the pack as far as how good, how dynamic he is. And that's definitely not a knock. I mean, you're talking about there's only 32 starting quarterbacks, you know, in the entire world for the NFL. And he's probably in the upper half of those 32. But I agree with you. I think if you look at what they've lost in free agency through cuts, through, you know, retirements this offseason between Greg Olsen leaving a leader, Cam Newton leaving a leader, Luke Kuechly leaving a leader, I think they've lost a lot. There's a lot of leadership that walked out that door. So I could definitely see this team, especially if they struggle early on, I say anywhere from 6 to 8 wins. That's what I see for this team, and I'll stick with that. So the NFL has just recently voted on, Norm, and approved a virtual workout program, which would basically have no on-field workout, but would allow for instructional classroom work, so like meetings, as well as teams to send up to $1,500 worth of equipment to each individual player, things like Apple Watches, resistant bands, dumbbells, things like that, in order to maintain their athletic prowess and continue to work out. I'm not going to ask necessarily is it a good idea or bad idea, because I understand why the NFL is doing it. I just wonder, in your opinion, is it a good look for the NFL to be spending $1,500 per player on a 53-man roster? And right now it's actually elevated to 90-man roster. So you're talking about, you know, you're talking about spending in excess of $100,000 per ball club when there is so many people out there right now without jobs, you know, without food, without toilet paper, without the essentials. Like, do you think this is a bad look? Because the whole reason the NFL went to this virtual draft was, you know, because of the, you know, the quote-unquote bad publicity. You know, they've even went as far, Norm, as to tell prospects, like, hey, you know, make sure you have less than 10 people at your viewer parties. You know what I mean? Because you don't want it to look bad, like, hey, the NFL's, you know, not acknowledging this. And I just wonder, does this maybe come off to the average casual fan as over the top?
I don't know how that appeals to fans. I didn't even know about it, and to be honest, I wouldn't really care. I think it's just a stupid idea for the NFL, period. It's a waste of money. You know, most of these guys who, you know, want to be pro players, or guys that are in the pros that actually give a shit, they work out and they know how to work out. Okay, so your gym closed, I get it, facilities are shut down. Well, the people that still really want it, they go out and work out. Whether they got to run a hill, push-ups, pull-ups, whatever it is they got to do, they'll find a way. And by the way, if you've been playing in the NFL and you have lots of money, you know, you should be able to spend a couple thousand dollars on a workout set. Any NFL player, and I mean any NFL player who doesn't have at least a simple bench press set up with a couple of, like, a squat rack at their house, isn't really taking it serious, minus punters and kickers. All I'm saying is you should have had this already. I think it's a waste of money. And so, yeah, if by doing so it upsets fans, that just escalates the problem. To me, it doesn't really matter. I think it just shows how stupid big corporations are. They come up with these retarded ideas that they think are going to help, and I don't know where they come up with it. So it's the same as if they sent me $1,500, yeah, I'd buy all the equipment, but at the end of the day, it's sitting in my garage, and I actually got to go out there and do it. You know, so.
Yeah, and you know, I guess the problem that I have with it is kind of what you just said, Norm, is, you know, if these guys are professional athletes, because you got to remember, like, none of these guys are even drafted yet, so we're not talking about the rookies, and they're talking about rolling this out next week. But I'm just thinking in my mind, if you're an actual NFL player, whether you're a fringe guy, a backup guy, or one of the elite talents, at the very bare minimum, you're making over $500K a year, right? Like, that's a minimum type contract for an NFL player. How would you not invest in your body if your body is what basically you're making your money on, right? It's like if I was a hand model, right, Norm, and I'm going out to the cold, it would be almost idiotic to not buy gloves, right? Or if I'm going to go rock climbing, like, I'd have to buy gloves because I'm protecting my assets. To me, it's the same kind of thing. Like, I don't have a problem with the NFL doing it, although I'll be honest, I did think the first thing I thought of was, wow, all these, you know, unemployment is up like 800% right now. All these people currently without any jobs that have unfortunately been forced to shut down their businesses, all these, business owners that aren't even eligible for unemployment, you know, and things like that because they own their own business. They're not, you know, they don't cash a paycheck. You know, it is almost a slap in the face to be like, hey, you know what, we're going to go ahead and give you $1,500 to buy an Apple iWatch and some resistant bands. You know, it almost sounds like something a politician would do, like, hey, let's write off $400 for a new toilet seat. You know, it almost is a slap in the face because, you know, maybe the average person doesn't think about this, but when you're really hungry and you're really poor, $1,500 could last you months to survive on.
Sure.
So, you know, the league office has been really proactive in trying to, you know, be very aware and cognizant of their image when you think of things like the Ray Rice incident and some of the other things. You know, bringing in, committee teams with women to run these committees, bringing in women as coaches. I really think that they need to take a look at this before this rolls out next week because I kind of think that it's a bad look. I did want to – and then the last NFL topic I had, this was actually brought up to me today, Norm. So I had the opportunity – to talk with a former NFL general manager. And I thought it was really interesting, but so I just asked him what his thoughts were on the NFL draft, just in general, and if anything would be different than any other year, in his opinion. You know, and I'll be honest, I kind of expected him to say, yeah, you know what, it's going to be the same as every other year, no big deal, we're all operating under the same premise, because that's what every GM has said publicly. But I was actually pretty surprised. This guy said, no, I think it's going to be a lot different. He said, I think that you're going to see that trading is going to be much more difficult, because typically when you trade, the way the trades work, and I'm sure you're probably aware, but maybe some of the listeners aren't, is you have to be on the phone line with the teams, working out compensation, working out an agreement. And this is all during that 5 or 10 minute time period. And you're talking with several teams. And then after that, you both have to confirm with the league office that the trade has actually taken place. Now, they're talking about this year that the confirmation of the trade, because of drop calls and things like that, that they're going to do it via email, which you know as well as I do, that there is a slight delay. Some programs or some providers like Gmail, Yahoo, you know, the list goes on and on and on, some are better than others as far as quickness and speed, but, you know, he just basically said, hey, if I get down to a minute left and we're still talking, like, I'm probably not going to trade because I don't want to be that guy that ends up getting passed over and somebody, the player that we wanted is either selected or the player they wanted is selected, and now I'm Minnesota from a few years back and I'm trying to scramble to pick and I've got less value for my pick. And I said, okay, that's interesting. And then the other thing he brought up, which I thought was super interesting, and he said, do not be surprised to see this. He said, I could totally see there being a very, very high number of first and second round picks that are traded this year for future picks. And I said, why do you think that might be? He said, because it's still not ironclad that the NFL season is going to play out. And if the NFL season does not play out for any reason, right, you know, I know that the overall arching theme right now is that most, you know, that most likely, you know, this pandemic is going to be over and that the season's going to start on time and that there's going to be a season. But we've already seen what's happened to baseball. We've already seen what's happened to basketball, hockey, and every other sport. He said, if I was the general manager, he said, you have to understand general managers think, what do I need to do to save my job? And he said, I would trade for future first-round picks because I'm not going to draft guys that may not even play this year. And when we come around to next year, I still don't know if they can play. He said, I would rather trade my first-round pick this year and pick up a second-round pick this year and maybe a first-round pick next year and stock up next year when I know that guys are going to play. And I just thought that was a really interesting thought, especially coming from a former general manager. So I just want to get your thoughts on that and your take on that. What's your thoughts on both of those point of views, the trades, and then also the fact that, you know, this former general manager saying he believes you're going to see a high number of teams trading for future first-round picks as opposed to picking this year?
Yeah, my input, most people will probably won't agree with me, but the way I've lived my life is, you know, you have to plan a little bit for the future, but don't overthink shit. And so I think part of the problem that a lot of you'll see inexperienced GMs make is they'll do just that. They'll overthink it. They'll do this. They'll do that. They'll make this. They'll make that because they kind of set a plan for the future. Well, what if the season does start and you could have helped your team? So, like I said, as long as you develop a plan as a general manager and then you go and execute that plan according to what you wanted to do, and if that means trading out your stuff this year for next year, and next year you're set and execute it next year and do it right, you look like a genius. If you defer it all, load up next year, and you make poor decisions next year, you look like an idiot. So whatever plan you decide, stick with it. If I was a GM of a team right now, I would draft and go about it like there's no change in anything, and I wouldn't even care. And I would just go about it in such a way and let the cards fall where they fall. And I think that's where, you know, like you said, less trades happening. The teams that are not prepared, who kind of scramble last minute and just say okay because they're not experienced enough, they may lose a little draft stock. The well-experienced teams, I don't see them trading very well. The teams that have a history of always drafting well are going to do just fine. It's business as usual. It's the young and the inexperienced that I expect to fumble a little bit and lose some draft stock. That's just my opinion.
All right, so we do have a few callers in queue, so I just want to remind you folks, if you want to get into the show and ask a question or if you want to talk with the host, dial 1 on your phone. If you don't, I'm going to assume that you just want to continue to listen because we do have several people waiting in queue that are not queued up. So I just want to make sure that, you know, we give everybody an opportunity. But we do have a couple people that do want to get in here, Norm, and talk with us, talk football. First caller is the caller from the 518. I believe this is James calling in. Welcome to the NFL free-for-all. How you doing tonight?
Doing good, Brian. How about yourself?
Hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. So I apologize. I didn't, you know, we kind of got carried away with some of our news and notes. I don't know how much of the news and notes you heard, but any reaction to what we've talked about so far?
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready to jump in like right at the end. That's perfectly fine. So to start, I mean, yeah, and I never really thought of future first round picks as a thing, but I mean, it's always good business to trade like a middle to late round first to a team that's in the top of the first round, top of the second round for second and next year's first, because, I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals are never going to go from where they are now, the number one overall pick, to, you know, a team and that's a true playoff contender. They've got, I mean, yeah, I know it happens, but it's not happening to the Bengals. It's not happening this year. But what I think is going to be really interesting is two factors. One, how far are we going to see the injury question players fall? Because we've already seen it a little bit in free agency where guys like Jadeveon Clowney are still sitting out there waiting to get paid because of serious injury questions. Does that force
some guys
to fall? Yep.
James, I think we could both agree, though, that the reason why Jadeveon Clowney is still out there, I think, has a little less to do with just the injury. It has more to do with the fact that the dollar amounts that he wants doesn't necessarily match up to the production. He's a very, very disruptive player. But the thing is, he had three sacks last year. Everybody talks about how disruptive this guy is. I mean, most teams, their third or fourth string defensive end has more than three sacks. I think Jadeveon Clowney is one of those cases where, you know what, he's still being looked at as the number one overall pick coming out of South Carolina, as opposed to who he was last year when he played for the Seahawks, which is a guy that missed two critical games and only gave them three sacks throughout the year.
And I think that's fair, but I also think that doesn't tell the whole story. Like, don't get me wrong, I do not think he's a $20 million a year defensive end. But when there's no, like, you start that at your starting point and hope that somebody meets you like a quarter of the way kind of thing. Like, oh, he, like, the first person who talks to you is probably going to give you like maybe 10 to 12, which is probably really, what you're looking at. But we can't ignore the fact that he had two arthroscopic knee surgeries in the past 3 years. And the fact that you're not able to go to a doctor and get that checked out is definitely making a lot more teams kind of gun shy on that.
No, you know what? That's definitely a good point, and I appreciate you bringing that up. We have another caller in queue here. Caller calling in from the 909, the 376 prefix. Welcome. You are in the NFL Free For All. Appreciate you calling in. How you doing tonight?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, my name is Vito. Good. I was wondering, who am I talking to—the hand model or the kid that doesn't know a damn thing?
I hope I'm
not the kid.
Well,
yeah, you sound like a kid. But actually. Listen, actually, the kid was right when he came out and said, like, you know, that general manager you're talking about, that, you know, he's overthinking things and this and that. It sounds like a guy that's never played football.
It's possible, Vito, but if you watch football, you know that these NFL general manager positions, when things go sideways or go south, realistically, these general managers have about 2-3 years tops to turn around an organization. And if you draft some guys without all the factual information, like you don't have the medicals, it's unfortunate, but this is just a reality this year. For example, we'll just use a guy like Tua Tagovailoa, right? He's probably going to check out. Everything says he's probably going to check out. But no one specific team's doctors have been able to look at the guy and actually verify, yes, we can draft him, or no, we have to take him off the board. You're talking about drafting a guy in the top five just purely based on a guess. And that's the kind of stuff
right.
that gets general managers fired.
Yeah, well, you know, all I know is I want to bet now. And this downturn is killing me. So could I ask you two a little gambling advice?
Absolutely.
Here's my question, because to me this seems to be like the only thing that I can bet on, the only thing that I can bet on that there's a possibility I'm going to get a payout before November. Who do you think Joe Biden's vice president is going to be?
Oh, man. North?
I would bet on Kamala Harris.
Listen,
Kamala Harris is interesting. She's at plus 140, but listen, she's from California. I mean, Biden doesn't need any more help in California. He needs to get some of her back east.
I'm not going to jump too deep into the political conversation,
right.
But at the end of the day, the fact that she could wipe the floor with a Mike Pence pretty easily is going to be a lot. People are much more heavy on the gotcha moments than what state a particular representative comes from, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know, I tell you what, I was never very political, but now that I'm retired, I watch this political stuff all the time, but it's hard to handle. It's too much. I mean, there's very little honesty. So anyway, but listen, I'm thinking about a long shot. I'm thinking about going for that Catherine Mastro at plus 1500. What's your take?
I think we should get back to football.
Yeah, Vito.
Listen. If you want to talk about football, my opinion is going to start on schedule. That's my opinion. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Vito. I appreciate the call. You've been awesome, and we hope to hear from you again, man.
All right, man.
All right, guys. So, all right. So, Vito thinks the NFL is going to start on schedule, which is awesome, and he's also going for the long shot in the political arena. We're going to stay away from that because this is hopefully somewhere for people to unwind and not have to talk about politics or religion. So let's move on to the NFC North team needs, guys. I want to start with the Chicago Bears. Norm, what do you see as the biggest need for the Chicago Bears entering this year? What do they need to do in order to basically get back to the top of this division?
You know, the Bears are a team that are so not even on my radar. I can't even really give an honest opinion there, but I will say this. It wasn't last year, but the year before when everything was working, it all worked with the defense. And I really think when Vic Fangio left to coach the Denver Broncos, something left with him. So I don't know who took over on the defensive side. I'm not saying they don't have the credentials or it's not working out. Maybe offenses just have a little more time to figure out how they're going to scheme against Khalil Mack. But really, I think everything there in Chicago, even if Nick Foles is the starter, that could be part of the answer. I don't think it's all the answer. I think it still starts with defense, and they got to find that swagger again on defense.
All right, James, I'm going to come over to you. What's your thoughts on the Chicago Bears? What do they need to do in order to get back to the top of this division? What do they need to do in the draft?
So, I mean, one, they need more draft picks. Like right now, for what they've spent in free agency, they didn't get much. And that includes the draft capital that spent on Nick Foles. Number one thing they need is a quarterback. Nick Foles, I'm not a believer in Nick Foles. Yes, he won a Super Bowl as a backup, but whenever he's been the guy in any particular place, he has not been particularly good. And then you've got Mitchell Trubisky, who's not that great either, and he's kind of shown a regression over the past few years, which is also bad. So both of those are major issues. Don't get me wrong. Nick Foles probably better than anybody you're going to get in the fourth round as a quarterback, but you still need a quarterback. Follow that up with probably two cornerbacks still. They cut Prince Amukamara over the offseason. That's a major issue. Offensive tackle is also a big problem that seems to be plaguing the Bears right now. I'd probably put that as a bigger need than cornerback even now. But yeah, that would probably be 1, 2, and 3 on my list.
Yeah, hey, real quick,
yeah,
on that
I
Nick
think...
Foles. Hey, Brian, real quick, let me run with this real quick. That whole Nick Foles situation, it's really that's like the last dart they're throwing at the dartboard for both Pace, the GM, and Coach Nagy. I guarantee you, Pace went to Nagy and says, "What the hell do we have to do?" And I think Nagy made that pick. When you look at Foles' history, drafted by Reed, all right, played in Philly, went to Kansas City when he was down and out after the Rams, backed up for Andy Reid. Doug Peterson goes to Philly. Doug Peterson brings Foles over because he knows the system. That's where he won the Super Bowl. Nagy came from Kansas City, and I think that's why you see Foles there in Chicago. I think it's more of, hey, crap, we got to try to bring in a guy that knows our system, and this is really Foles' best chance to really excel again, and it's Nagy and Pace's last chance to keep their jobs.
Yeah, you know, for me, and I agree with everything you guys have said, I think for the Bears, I kind of feel like they've already missed the mark. I really do. I feel like, you know, I never want to condemn a team before the season happens, but I really felt like they had to do two things in free agency in order to really turn this team around. Number one was they needed to sign a credible quarterback. I mean, you have guys out there like Andy Dalton, and I understand these guys are still out there, but Andy Dalton, you had Teddy Bridgewater, you have Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, and not only did you give up a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles, but you took that massive contract on that he has as well, which is just crippling. But the other thing is, and this is something, Norm, that you should be able to appreciate as well, most people don't know this, but if you look at Matt Nagy's offense, he was formerly the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, and then before that, he was the offensive coordinator with the Eagles. Matt Nagy has always targeted the tight end. And this team needs a tight end. They went out and got Trey Burton from Chicago a couple years back, and he has just not been able to stay healthy. I thought Trey Burton was going to be an absolute beast, in this system, because I know Matt Nagy's system, and I know what Trey Burton is capable of when he's healthy. It's just unfortunate, but he has not stayed healthy. And with all these guys that were out there, like Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper, and Greg Olsen, you know, all these guys that were out there as potential targets, you know, I'm shocked that they didn't really bring in anyone. So that's the one thing with the Bears that I would say that I'm most disappointed with, is that to me, their two biggest needs, quarterback and tight end, is not really something you're going to be able to adequately address in the draft. I know some people like the Florida Atlantic tight end. Some people like the Notre Dame tight end. I don't necessarily think there is a tight end in this year's draft that is on par with some of the tight ends that have come out in the last couple of years that have went in the first or second round. So there's just not that guy. So I think that they're going to continue to struggle a little bit this year. It's unfortunate. Cornerback is definitely going to be an issue, like you mentioned, with Prince Amukamara being a cap casualty. He was definitely their best corner. And then safety. You know, they gave HaHa Clinton Dix, you know, a one-year kind of prove-it deal last year, and he proved it. And they gave Eddie Jackson so much money in his contract extension last year that they now have – they basically didn't have any money to sign Clinton Dix, who, you know, basically trotted off to the Cowboys. So I don't necessarily know that the Bears situation is going to get any better, but, you know, in the draft, they definitely need to get an offensive guard to take over for Kyle Long. They definitely need to get a corner. Those two positions are vital, and a safety and a tight end. You know, the quarterback, you're kind of stuck with it at this point, guys. It is what it is kind of thing. We're going to do Detroit, and I'm going to let James, I'm going to have you go last on this one. I personally, when I look at the the Detroit Lions. I know I hear a lot of people, and I'm kind of shocked about this, but I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, Matthew Stafford and basically him being let go, you know. And I personally just don't see it. You know, I don't see the correlation between the two, and maybe it's because I'm not a fan and I don't watch it as closely. But, you know, I look at Matthew Stafford's numbers. I look at the player he is, and, yeah, he's had some injury history, but he's super tough. And I think from a physically gifted standpoint, I still think he's a top 10, 12 quarterback in the league, easy. I think their problem has and always will be until they address it is – They need a pass rush. They've addressed every other position. You bring in a guy like Trey Flowers and pay him all that money, you got to have somebody that can wreak havoc on the opposite side. And they, you know, basically let their former first round pick trot off to Seattle, and they don't really have much to backfill. And now with Slay being traded, I think cornerback is definitely, in my opinion, the second highest need. But, you know, I kind of feel like offensively that there's been some bad luck, but I feel like this team basically has everything it needs to succeed. You know, obviously playmakers, whether it be at the wide receiver position, whether it be at the running back position, you know, are always nice. But I think this team has more than enough to succeed. I think it's really just about putting it together and continuing to build that defense. What's your thoughts, Norm?
Yeah, again, another team that I don't put a lot of clout into. If I had to, like, bundle their last 10 years together, I don't think Stafford's the problem. Stafford's always been really good. I'd still rank him top 10. I think he's a good quarterback. And they should be able to win with him. They've gone up and down through running backs. And, yeah, I don't know. What is their identity? What do they do? And like I said, you know, nothing stands out to me, except for the name Stafford. So I think their problem has been they just never settled on a leader. They've gone through so many coaches, and this coach didn't win, so it's the coordinator's fault. Let's fire him. Okay, we're going to do this and that. They just need to say, okay, you know what? We're going to go with this guy. Bring in your guys, and you get 5 years. Not two, not three. You get 5 years. I don't know. I don't like Matt Patricia. His beard's too scruffy or something. There's something I don't like about the guy. But – if that's going to be your guy, let him do his thing. And I think he's trying to create the Patriot culture where, hey, get rid of these high-priced vets that are good players that have a negative outlook on my system, and I'll bring in what I can. Chip Kelly did the same thing, though, and it didn't quite work out. Did they not give enough time? I don't know. But I think that's the problem with Detroit. Do they have the right guy? Are they willing to stick it out? You know, I'm not saying – I don't think they're drafting busts. But they're still one of those teams that I just don't think can make a deep run. They're just too far away.
James, everybody is very cognizant and very much aware of, you know, the impact of losing, you know, Darius Slay and how that affects this team, potentially your best corner. I know Ty has said in the past, you know, maybe he's lost a step. But I think the one underrated loss that you guys had was the mid-season trade of Quandre Diggs. That's not really talked about. I know he was kind of a cap casualty, but he's playing really well for you guys. I mean, I think you guys probably need at least two, maybe even three guys in the secondary. What does your team need to do in order to get competitive in this division again? You there, James?
Sorry, I muted myself. So we'll start with just what you talked about, the secondary. They have made some moves to start to make some motion there. They signed Desmond Trufant in the offseason, but they still need another cornerback after letting Darius Slay go. Because Justin Coleman really does his best work on in the slot. That's really what I think they planned on drafting or signing him for last year in the first place. Because that was where he performed the best, but injuries happened. Tease Tabor never came into his own, and all of a sudden Coleman was forced into the number two cornerback position. They also have They have a big need at offensive guard. Graham Glasgow left in free agency. They haven't replaced him yet. And there's always a potential that that they could need a center as early as next year. So working on replenishing and adding depth to that offensive middle is very important for the Lions this offseason. After that, it's like, yes, defensive end is a need. Defensive tackle is also a need. I mean, Danny Shelton's okay, but they do need at least one more to start on the other side of Danny Shelton, or at least for some depth there to add a decent rotation at the defensive tackle position. The bigger these guys are, the more likely they are to get tired. So at least one more defensive tackle. They need, as you said, they need somebody across from Trey Flowers and some running back depth behind
Kerryon
Johnson. Sorry. well, and there, like, a lot of these are depth needs more than starter needs. But the one thing that Detroit Lions seem to constantly have as a problem is injuries. And I will add on top of that a backup quarterback, because nobody wants Chase Daniels as the backup quarterback. Nobody. For some reason, he continues to get paid, but I don't know what that reason is. So a backup quarterback would be nice. But biggest needs, edge rusher, cornerback, and offensive guard as far as starters are concerned. Oh, and yeah, number two corner.
All right, so I'm gonna turn this over. I'm going to bring in Ty here in a second. You know, I kind of contended, and we'll see what Ty's thoughts are, but I kind of contended that this team just needs to kind of overhaul the defense, really focus on the defense this draft. You know, this was a top 10 passing defense, or passing offense, excuse me, you know, right in the middle of the pack as far as total yards and points per game. You know, yeah, I mean, obviously you want to be better than 21st in the league at running the ball, but they were running for over 100 yards a game. I really contend, if you look at the stats, the defense is really what killed you guys last year. You know, when you look at the fact that they were 32nd in the league in passing yards allowed and 31st in the league in overall yards allowed, I mean, that's really what killed you. Do you agree with that, Ty?
I agree with a lot of what's going on, but here's one thing, though. One, you got a statement with Snack saying that he was hell-bent trying to get out of Detroit, so you already got up front not trying to make it happen, let alone they got rid of a lot of people with A'shaun leaving as well. But they did stack up well, at least in the linebacker corps. So I'm impressed with what Quinn and Patricia were able to do to at least go out there and get Collins. Also getting Ragland, that was a big pickup too. This is actually a do-or-die season for me for Jarrad Davis. He can no longer be on that field and not making plays and, you know, not doing what they got him out of Florida to do. I'm a big Tavai fan. This guy's an awesome player. And, you know, he started showcasing himself out the gate, and then it was like everybody knew what he was all about. But also in that secondary, like, they didn't have strong safety play. Once they got rid of Diggs, everything went out the window. And, again, like, I pick on Slay a lot, man. I mean, Slay was our best corner, but Slay gets picked on a ton of times in games. I was watching a breakdown of how Davante Adams was chewing him alive. And if he's supposed to be one of your top quality corners and getting burned and buried, like, that's – it says a lot. And games, he gave up games too. So I feel bad to watch Slay go, but, I mean, it's better for green pastures. Offensively, I'm going to, you know, shock people here. I think it is time for Stafford to go. So I think they need to go after a quarterback. I don't think it's Tua, though. Everybody's screaming Tua. I don't want to damage quarterback already. Tua may be an awesome quarterback in his career, but I don't think that'll be it in Detroit. I think if they go after Justin out of Oregon, that'll be
Justin
huge.
Herbert?
He has a big arm. He has a big arm. He can stand. He can make plays down the field as well. And I think it was Brian or Norm that said that staff is not the problem. Staff is the problem. If you are, I want to be fair with this number. You're 15 and like 80 against winning teams. That is a disgusting stat. Even in a fact when they were playing your team, Norm, Kansas City, this game was in his hands to win, and for some reason he likes to get down and try to come back. That game was in his hands at the end of the game and could not make it happen.
This is
in Detroit. This is in Detroit up against Kansas City where you could have made your way up against probably one of the top three quarterbacks in the game up against Mahomes, and you were actually out shooting Mahomes. But unfortunately, that sailed out. You know, the play didn't get made. It was a game against the Raiders, and it's fourth down at the goal line, and then they throw a jump ball pass to Logan Thomas. Like, wait, Logan Thomas, that's your third string tight end? Like, you couldn't call a timeout again and get somebody else out there on the field. Like, and then he throws the jump ball, it goes out of the end zone, and that's the last play he plays for the season with broken bones in his back. Nobody sacked him. Nothing happened. He has broken bones in his back. So I think that they should hang on to Stafford for this season, whoever they get. Hopefully they could get Justin Haber. And see if they could work with him. I'm not a David Blau guy, and I think this was all for sure with Chase Daniels. I think they just had to get somebody there. But not right now. Stafford's been there since, 2009? And his numbers are, like, his stat padding numbers are there, so you love to see that comeback quality. But, again, if he's – and I may be lower or higher on the number, but, again, if he's 15 – in like 70 against winning teams, that's a losing culture. I don't care if he went 16-0 this season, he couldn't change the percentage on that. So he has to take some of this blame. I don't care if you want to go 35, 45, 50, he has to take some of this damn blame. And he still doesn't value the ball. So that's all critical right now.
See, I just have time with a Stafford. I got to say this real quick, James. I have a hard time with Stafford, and I get you guys watch him more, but I have a hard time with Stafford because here's what I look at, guys. I'm looking at a quarterback in the last 9 seasons. He's had 7 seasons where he's passed for at least 4,000 yards. He's had every one of those seasons he's completed over 60% of his passes. And even last year, 3-4 with him at the helm, and he had 2,500 yards, 19 touchdowns, 5 picks. He threw for 312 yards per game. Like, you know what? If you want to blame somebody, let's look at the last. I'm just going to give you the last 7 years, the same years that I told you all those stats he had. He's been sacked 36, 45, 44, 47, 37, 40. I mean, you can't survive in the NFL. If you want to talk about back injuries, don't let your quarterback get sacked 40 times. Like, for starters. Like, I hear what you're saying, Ty, but you know what? You could take the best player in the NFL, whoever you want to assert that is at the quarterback position, and if you put him behind an awful, atrocious offensive line, he's going to struggle. I mean, it is a reality. He is going to struggle. Go ahead, James. I know you have something you want to say.
So the first thing I want to say is wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not just Ty. Everybody says it. Oh, he's such and such a player's got such a losing record. He never wins in the big game. These are not quarterback stats. Wins and losses are not quarterback stats, and never have been, never will be. The quarterback is the most dependent and dependent upon position on the NFL field. Doesn't make wins and losses his fault. But on top of that, I'm going to defer to exactly what Brian said a little bit earlier in the show. Matthew Stafford is still a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, period. I think his price tag is a little too high, and I think that with the maneuvers that Jerry Jones is currently making vis-a-vis Dak Prescott, we're going to start to see quarterback salaries, unless you are a specific juggernaut like a Patrick Mahomes, we're going to start to see those go down on these like mid-tier quarterbacks, which is great. So we're not going to be setting the market every year for quarterback, but at the end of the day, Matthew Stafford's not the problem. They have to surround him with protection enough and defense enough so that they don't have to continuously pass for, 500 yards in a single game to get a W.
Listen, there is a lot of truth, guys. There's a lot of truth. Go look up an odd NFL stat. Go look up when a quarterback throws the ball 50 times or 60 times, like how often they win the game. The reality is that when you put the ball in harm's way, when you throw the ball 50 or 60 times a game, whether it be you get sacked and you fumble, whether it be an interception, whether it be a tip ball at the line of scrimmage, I mean, whether it be your quarterback gets sacked and injured, there is a variety of bad things that can happen when you throw the ball that much. And as a Detroit fans, you guys should know better than anybody. I mean, Matthew Stafford has averaged like 600 attempts like each of the last like seven seasons, which is just insane. Like, I mean, we've had three head coaches in the tenure that he's been there. You think that somebody would have figured out, you know what, we need to run the ball. Like, we need to make it a point that we are going to become a team that can run the ball. But, you know, obviously at this point they haven't. But we do have two more callers that are calling in, and then we got two more teams to get to. So caller calling in from the 703, you are on with the NFL Free-for-All Show. How you doing tonight?
You know, man, it really cooks my bricks when I call in and I hear Detroit Lion conversation. Like, can we start with somebody else? I'm too young, man.
Well, we just got done talking.
Well, we actually
about
started with the worst team in the NFC North,
the
Chicago
North
Bears.
Was. Yeah, you just missed it.
Oh, good. Yeah, you know, I would have came in out of Chicago, man. Jeez, can't talk about the damn Lions.
Listen, since he don't want to talk about the Lions, I ain't done. Let me get back in there. Since he don't want to talk about the Lions, I'll talk about him. You just leave him on the sideline. Tell him to go get some Gatorade, because I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. I got it. The fact that wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat, I that's an unbelievable statement that I've heard. That's just like Alex Smith and Mahomes. And Alex Smith wasn't getting the job done. Mahomes comes in there. They get rid of him. Right? Same system.
Alex Smith wasn't getting the job done?
They move him. The quarterback successful. Every time you see Alex Smith go somewhere, he's, okay. And the next thing you know, they move him because it's somebody else that's coming in and did a better job, whether it's Kaepernick, whether it's Mahomes, what just happened in D.C., even though he got injured. I'm not buying that, not one bit, that you're not putting any of these wins or losses on Stafford. When he was on NFL Network doing an interview with one of the hosts saying he'd rather play from behind. Like, what quarterback wants to be facing a deficit and then you come up short? If you're saying you want to see a deficit and you don't do it, it's on your back. Period. This you could go and look at YouTube. There's nothing for you to do. Everybody's home, so you could YouTube it and watch Stafford say that crap, that he would rather be from behind and try to steal the game. And if he comes up short, it's not his fault. Are you kidding? Like that's absurd. Like there's no quarterback. I don't care if it's.
Are you saying that Stafford is purposely sabotaging himself at the beginning of the game? I didn't interrupt you.
Right. Whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo, whether it's Patrick Mahomes, whether it's Ben Roethlisberger, whoever you want to put in this situation, ain't none of us talking about, oh, I want to see us beat down losing and then try to win the game in the fourth quarter. That's your MO. Like, that's what you really want to do. Get rid of that. Like I said, go get a young bull. Let him learn from what Stafford's doing with this offense. I don't think you replace him, like, immediately. Let Stafford do what he needs to do, because you put a whole bunch of money into this dude. Let the young boy learn from him 1 or 2 years, and that's it. Stafford should be done. I can care less if he went to New England. I don't think he could answer the question of getting rid of Brady and then putting Stafford in there in New England. I think the same situation that happened. He came out the gate with some interesting numbers, but he still was losing games. How do you lose a game in Arizona up 18 points with 5 minutes on the clock? Tell me.
did he play defense in that game? Because they scored 21 points in the final 5 minutes.
Okay, but he's getting the ball back, right? Okay, okay, they scored the points. They scored the first touchdown. That's either 11 or 10 if they went for two. I think they went for two, but then that's 10 points. He's getting the ball back. T.J. Hockenson went absolutely crazy. So what happened? Why everything fall apart all of a sudden? Why Amendola can't get the ball no more? They was going crazy. Arizona couldn't stop the passing attack. All of a sudden, the passing attack not working? Come on, and you got Kerryon doing a good job. Thank goodness they went and got Bo Scarborough, because Bo Scarborough is a good running back that they picked up. That's huge. And Ty Johnson is also one of the Chiefs.
Let me ask you a serious question. I have another caller I got to bring in, but let me ask a serious question. And I just want you to give me your gut reaction. Warren Moon, is he a good quarterback?
A legend. Warren Moon's a legend.
Okay. Boomer Esiason, good quarterback?
He's a decent quarterback. He's been to the bowl. He did what he needed to do.
Decent. But both of those guys have a losing record. And I don't think anybody would say that, for example, Warren Moon couldn't throw the football or that he wasn't a good quarterback. It takes offense, defense, and special teams to accumulate a dynasty, a winning record in the game of NFL. You can be a fantastic quarterback, but if you have a horrible offensive line, if you don't have the right pieces around you, if you do not have a good defense, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a winner. Like I said, Warren Moon has a career losing record. Boomer Esiason.
What are their records, Brian? What are their records against winning teams?
Below 500.
If they have a losing record, I would assume they probably have a losing record against above 500 teams. Why would they be better against better teams?
And when do you think Stafford is going to pick up his first playoff home? Do you think it's going to happen this year? Do you think he's going to pick up a playoff win
this
year?
I think he should have already had a playoff win. I think that this team has ignored the run game and has ignored the defense for far too long. But let me get the caller calling in from the 404. I apologize for the delay. Caller, you're in queue. How you doing tonight? Caller from the 404, you're on. All right. I don't know if he's here or not, guys. So we'll go ahead and come back to you. Caller from the 404.
Okay.
One more time, let me try him.
Wait a minute, man. It wasn't unmuted yet. That's why you couldn't hear. Now you can hear.
Gotcha.
Indeed. What's going on, y'all?
Good, man. We're just talking. We're just finishing up some talk on Detroit Lions. We still have to get to Green Bay. But we're talking about teams, and Ty got a
real fire real quick for y'all. Just real quick. I'm in Georgia, right? You saw the 404 number. So I saw the games where when they played competent competition, meaning Florida especially, Matt Stafford would what? He would self-destruct. This is the problem with Matt Stafford. He has one of the greatest skill sets in NFL history. That arm is bionic. Most people will never be able to make the throws that Matt Stafford can throw. The problem is what he does between the ears. He's bad at reading defenses. He makes mistakes, and he's not a quarterback. He's not a quarterback who's ever lived up to his talent. So there's been a huge problem during his tenure in the Detroit Lions. His best years were under Jim Caldwell, who's a great quarterback whisperer, who was able to get rid of some of his worst tendencies and get him to play a little better. But Matt Stafford is not that. Probably going to retire in the next few years because of the injuries that have accumulated. And also, salute to him, prayers for him. His wife had to battle cancer last year. That dude was going out there playing, knowing that his wife, you know, was going through that tough struggle. So, you know, that's just one thing just to be said. But overall, Matt Patricia is a bad coach. They made a bad hire in bringing him in. He should be a DC somewhere. He's not a head coach, and he has not helped Matt at all. So they play from behind a lot. That's why you see the high passing attempts. That's why you see those games where it should be, you know, much better in grass, but they typically trick those games off. that's, you know, that's kind of a Detroit Lion thing. They're one of the worst franchises in NFL history. But over Matt Stafford's tenure, he had the career of Calvin Johnson in his prime rolling right between. That skewed some of the stats to make us think Matt is better than what he actually is. And, again, all of this is between the ears. None of this is about physical talent because, again, he has one of the best arms in NFL history. Not right now, in NFL history. But bad plays. He makes bad reads. He tries to force balls into tight windows when he shouldn't. And he typically plays like a dude who's not playing with house money. He's playing with $5 at the damn blackjack table, and he's trying to take down the whole pot. He's a risky guy. He makes mistakes. He's not their answer going forward in the future, but for right now, he's going to hold down that spot. Do I see them
Can
as
we get this man a clap
defender?
Right now?
Oh, I'll get out. Go ahead, bro.
That's beautiful. Man, that's beautiful.
You
that's
said you didn't
want
to speak on the Lions. Then you want to time how long.
That's beautiful.
But I'll time out.
No. What I was saying was that was good. You deserve a clap for that. That's good. That's good.
Two claps, but I'm just keeping it 100. Two claps, but it's
100.
Go ahead.
100. Clap 100. Clap 100. Clap 100.
Can I get it on this for just a little bit? First of all, it's not like Matthew Stafford is Jameis Winston. He's not throwing interceptions anywhere near his touchdown total. So this whole thing about, oh, he's just making bad decisions all the time, it's not borne out by what we're seeing on the tape. It's not happening.
Nah, man.
He's not throwing. If he's throwing risky passes, he's completing
them. He was drafted number one overall before they changed the rookie scale, meaning they paid him in the amount of Tom Brady, Peyton Manning type of money, but haven't gotten that production. I wouldn't make the comparison to Jameis Winston, but think about it. You're bringing up Jameis Winston. Once you say, okay, we got to compare this dude to Jameis Winston, we're already talking about a failed starter. So think about the comparison you're making.
No, I agree with that. No, I agree that he's like what I'm saying is that people are talking like he's Jameis Winston, like he's making all these bad decisions when he's not been turning the ball over that much over the past years. And this is like we're even talking like post Calvin Johnson era when Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones have been his best wide receiving. Don't get me wrong. They're
not
good
bad
wide receivers. They're not bad wide receivers. No, they're very good wide receivers. But they're also not Calvin Johnson. But it's not like passing yards have gone down. It's not like his touchdowns have gone down that much.
Look, if I got to pay you 25% of the salary cap, but you need a Calvin Johnson once-in-a-lifetime Hall of Famer in order to be effective, in order for us to go to the playoffs and get a win, then maybe
no. What I'm saying is he's been effective anyway. He's been effective anyway. The passing numbers are out of this world. It's everything else that's letting him down.
Georgia, man, you saw this at UGA. He's just not that dude. And again, he is physically more talented than the majority of quarterbacks who've ever played in the NFL. That's what kind of arm strength Matt Stafford has. I'm just talking about play on the field. He is not a consistent player. He is not a player who basically would be worth what you paid him.
I guess we'll have to agree on that.
You the man.
Just on this topic, because I'm in Georgia, and I saw him I saw this. I know who he is, man. I saw him down at UGA, disappoint, and every time, never beat expectations, and they never got to the chip. Got Mark Reed fired. He's the number one pick.
Nah.
Goes to Detroit. First year, he gets hurt. Comes back in. They get high expectations with him and Calvin. And, again, he never meets expectations. And like I said, I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying for where they drafted him and what they paid him, he is not that guy. Compare his career.
Now,
to
that's something I do agree with. I do agree he's overpaid. He is an overpaid quarterback right now. Definitely.
Yeah.
But I think that 90% of quarterbacks in the league are overpaid. If you're not on your rookie deal, you're overpaid.
And his rookie deal was what? Remember, it wasn't that rookie cash out deal. He got the big bucks.
He got the big bucks, yeah. So, yep.
Yeah, he's just not that dude, man. But again, arm strength better than damn near everybody in the NFL right now, even while injured.
Here we go. Here we go. Now, are you ready for this? Since Calvin Johnson retired, do you know how many playoff appearances they've had?
Zero.
None.
I know. And Matt Patricia is going to get fired next year, and they're going to draft another quarterback and then move it along, and they'll be the same old Detroit.
They need to get a quarterback now. They need to get a quarterback now. Now, do you agree that wins and losses don't fall on a quarterback?
Ty, you know you're my man 100, but you already know where I side on this. I know it's the data on this. We give quarterbacks way too much credit for wins and losses. It's a 53-man roster. Like, teams matter. How you build your roster matters. Quarterbacks get way too much credit. So I am on their side on that part of the arc when they go to that. But at the same time, if you draft a guy number one and you put the majority of your resources into him, he should be a difference maker that kind of pushes you over, what, the mediocre teams in the NFL. And Matt Stafford doesn't do that.
Matt Stafford's been held back by the coaching, and I think that's really sums it up. I agree with the talent, but he's never had anything to build around. And again, running the football is very important to take the pressure off the quarterback.
And having a decent offensive line, like I said.
Am I looking at you as a game manager or a guy who needs to have the running game to lean on, or am I drafting you as a guy who's the forefront of our offense? So, again, wrong guy for the spot he was put in. That's what I'm saying.
Well, everybody's the wrong guy for the spot that Matthew Stafford was put in. That's kind of my point. Like,
Pat Mahomes handles it well.
Pat Mahomes.
He wasn't putting that part.
Okay, so if your argument is that Matthew Stafford isn't Pat Mahomes, I'm right there with you. But there's not one quarterback that Matthew Stafford has had that's even a sniff to the greatness of Andy Reid.
Yeah, but he had Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell for one season.
Jim Caldwell still doesn't have a job.
Hold
if
on.
He was that great, he would have a job right now.
That's a whole other story. Well, so you say, I'll let it be known that Jim Caldwell had your boy in Baltimore looking like what? A Super Bowl MVP who then got a max contract. And then when Jim Caldwell was gone, he wasn't good anymore. So,
hey, Nas,
I would say
let me ask you a question. Nas, in your opinion, who's the greatest quarterback that's ever played the game?
Oh, well, we're doing some type of Montana Brady type of Elway.
No. I'm asking you a legitimate question. I'm just curious.
Okay.
Who do you think
between those three? I'm talking about those three guys. I can't really choose between them.
Okay,
Elway,
so you said
Brady, Montana.
Okay, so I'm gonna take one of those guys that you just anointed as a top three quarterback. Let's take Brady. How did Brady perform in the season that they went undefeated into the Super Bowl against the Giants? Would you say that he performed at the level he had all year? Was he that guy?
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't. He was actually atrocious,
but
that's because
well
he was being badgered and sacked all game long.
All-time defensive line who came after him and got to him. But
17-0
and losing
in the Super Bowl,
that's nothing to sweat.
Right, but my point is, it doesn't matter how good your quarterback is. We can have different opinions on how good Matt Stafford is, but my point is, what I contend is, when you look at the fact that you look at his last five seasons in the NFL, and it's been 45, 44, 37, 47, 45, you can't allow your quarterback to get sacked that many times. Like, how do you expect him to perform at a reasonable level in a 16-game season when he's getting sacked 45-plus times?
Okay,
you're talking about four sacks a game.
Well, hold on. Let's do this, because I'm glad you mentioned that. Because this is something that's never talked about. We just typically say X player was sacked X amount of times, therefore the offensive line wasn't good. The team let him down. But what we
don't
look at the actual data and say, okay, how many sacks did the quarterback run into? How many sacks did the quarterback hold the ball too long? How many sacks did the quarterback make a bad read and then have nowhere to go? Like, that's a part of that criteria. We can't just say sacks are all everybody else's fault and none of the quarterback's fault. And then once you do that, you start to see, like, okay, Russell Wilson, as great as he is, he runs into a lot of sacks. The Seattle offensive line gets a lot of blame for it, but Russell runs into a lot of sacks. But because he makes so many big plays, it's worth the risk of it. So you don't care. You say, okay, it's all right. We like Russell taking risks. But with somebody like Matt Stafford, you definitely got to ask that question. What's his clock like in his mind in the pocket? How long does he hold the ball typically? And if they're playing from behind, how many times are we just looking at a situation where stats are accumulated because they're a bad team playing from behind and they're just putting up trash stats that don't mean anything? And for Matt Stafford, that's a good chunk of his career.
Possible. What I would say is, though, is if you take out his rookie year and you look at the years that he was sacked less than 40 times, you have 3 years where he threw for almost 5,000 yards, and he had a 41 touchdown season, a 30 touchdown season, and a 20 plus touchdown season. All three very good years. I would contend if you look when the numbers drop below 40, he's significantly better.
Okay, so if you're a GM, do you think that's more of those seasons are coming, or do you think more of what we've seen recently is coming from Matt Stafford?
I'm with you.
From
let's
Matt
talk
Stafford
about
specifically,
what
I think it's more
let's
the same, but the same
as
a bad.
He played seven games. He played seven games last year. He threw for 2,500 yards, 19 touchdowns, five picks, averaged over 300 yards a game, and was only sacked 18 times. So for basing it off of recent statistics, I'd say I'd expect a decent season from him.
Okay. Well, Vegas is open right now. Anybody can put their money down. You can bet on the Detroit Lions to make the playoffs. You'll make a bundle on it. I would advise you not to do so.
All right, boys, we gotta get to this last team. Norm, I'm gonna kick this off with you. Let's talk about the Detroit Lions, or excuse me, let's talk about the Green Bay Packers.
It's not.
This is a team that made the NFC Championship game and fell short against the San Francisco 49ers. What does this team need to do in order to help Aaron Rodgers get over the hump?
Yeah, I don't even know how they made it there. I think they just worked out to a soft schedule. I just, you know, Aaron Rodgers was one of my favorite quarterbacks until he started getting all pouty face. I can't stand this whole, I'm upset, the receiver didn't break the right way, the line didn't block this. Aaron Rodgers is losing a little bit of his mobility, and that whole pouty face, I think they're fucked. That's my opinion.
All right, serious. What's your thoughts on the Green Bay Packers? What do they need to do to help Rodgers get back to the Super Bowl? I mean, he did put up pretty impressive numbers. We're going by the most recent year. He had 26 touchdowns, four interceptions, threw for over 4,000 yards. What's your thoughts?
Well, for starters, again, shore up that offensive line. I think that needs to definitely be said. For the Green Bay Packers. Secondly, Aaron Rodgers needs to stay healthy. I think they go as he goes and develop more chemistry with his wide receiver. The biggest thing that we were talking about a season ago was the fact that, you know, again, the man who just spoke before me mentioned that he had a beef with his receivers. They weren't on the same page. Devontae Adams was the only type of guy he had any type of rapport with for the longest time. Then Devontae Adams went down for a good portion of last year. So he was forced to set up the guy. And one of the guys that he developed with was Geronimo Allison. He has since departed. I think he was in Detroit, actually.
He did go to Detroit.
And so, yeah, so he went to Detroit. So, you know, he needs to develop the chemistry with a couple of his receivers and everything like that. That's the second thing. And the third thing, honestly, is to make sure that defense continues to improve. One of the biggest the Green Bay Packers made was on defense last year. And then they were near the top of stopping the run. They struggled a little bit with stopping the pass. But, again, they were a top 10, top 15 caliber defense. And so they need to continue to shut in that department. If they do those three things, as well as, you know, make some moves near the draft to get some more talent. But I really feel as though they could be right back in the thick of things in the NFC as long as, you know, 12 stays healthy.
All right, James, I'm going to come over to you. Green Bay was actually ranked 18th in total defense, 23rd against the rush, 14th against the pass. They did only give up the ninth most points at 19.6. What's your thoughts? What does this team need to do in a nutshell in order to reach the Super Bowl?
So the biggest – I mean, it's funny. We mentioned how pedestrian the defense is, but the two biggest needs are on offense. Wide receiver is number one. Devontae Adams is great. They need another wide receiver, probably two more wide receivers, a number two, a real number two, and a slot guy. Luckily, for some reason, the Green Bay Packers seem to find luck every single year, but this is the deepest wide receiver class I've seen, so this is something they should be able to take care of very easily. And they also need help at defensive tackle. I mean, they missed Mike Daniels last year. Mike Daniels is still, I believe, a free agent, but it doesn't seem like anybody's knocking on his door. But ever since he left Green Bay, that defensive line has not been the same. We talked about their defensive struggles against the run. Defensive tackle is one of those really –
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, James. You know, this team, you know, a lot of people forget, but this team did get absolutely gashed in the running game. They were ranked 23rd. People forget what Philly did to them and then San Francisco did to them in the playoffs. Not to mention the fact that they actually lost Blake Martinez, probably their best linebacker, to the Giants. So D-tackle, definitely need to get stouter up the middle, but I know Nas probably agrees with us because we've had this conversation, but I definitely agree that wide receiver, I mean, I wouldn't hate the idea of taking two wide receivers in the first three rounds. That's just me, though. I think they need help that badly. Ty, what's your thoughts on Green Bay?
I think more or less they need to focus on defense. That's what killed them. If San Francisco could beat you with 8 passing attempts, forget – completions or what happened, if they beat you with only 8 passing attempts on the biggest stage that you could possibly face after having a 13-3 season, that defense needs to be retooled like crazy. Right now, their receiving core is all right. I mean, Devontae Adams is good. The kid Lazard, if you guys didn't see what he was doing, especially in that Monday night game against Detroit, he was killing Detroit. He's a 6'5" speedster, so he could get out there and make plays. And they also picked up Funches too. And so they got pieces in the receiving corps. I'm not even really heavily worried about who's the target for Rodgers. You have to worry about him every single time he steps on the field. I could care less what's happening. He's still one of the top 3 quarterbacks in the game. So offensively, I know they're going to have to tweak something. If they want to pick up a receiver, that'd be fine. But they have quality at the receiver position. But defensively, they have to pick it up linebacker core-wise and definitely in the back end because they were getting beat like a drum, especially in the postseason.
All right, now I'm going to give you the final thought on this. The Green Bay Packers, what do they need in order to get over the hump and get to the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah, well, I would say the linebacker core stands out the most. Blake Martinez leaving is probably addition by subtraction. That dude wanted no part of physical contact. He's like one of those old-school middle linebackers who jumped on piles and tackled people 6 yards down the field and got credit for tackles. They need somebody who's going to be physical because that 49er game, like, that was an indictment, like the fact that they were able to be steamrolled in that fashion. But I go back to y'all point, though, man. Their recent drafts, they spent a lot of draft capital on wide receivers. None of those guys worked out. MBS, Geronimo Allison, all those guys are not NFL-caliber starting receivers. They're backups. So they're going to have to use some of that draft capital on receivers again and get some guys who can make some plays for Aaron. You can't expect Aaron to make miracles and win Super Bowls. Like, that's not realistic. So receiving core, linebacker core. I'm with you guys on D-line, too, because you also need some disruptors out there. But I like their defense last year. They made some really, you know, strong gains over the year. They're much better than what we thought going into the season. But receiver, linebacker, and then I go defensive line, DN and tackle.
All right, I appreciate that, man. We are just about at the end of the show, guys. Nas, I'm going to start with you, man, since you were the last one in the building. I always appreciate your point of view and your insight. Give me a shout out, a final thought, something you'd like to talk about before we head out of the kitchen here tonight.
Yeah, well, I hate to kind of take the air out the room, but we might not be watching or enjoying football anytime soon, man. I know Goodell and everybody else is giving us these sunny projections about how everything's going to start on time. I just don't see it, man. Well, what we're looking at right now, I just don't see it. I think you really need to enjoy the draft and the rest of free agency because we might not see football for a while. And if that's the case, hey, bruh, start getting into these mocks. I'm going to listen to and watch the hell out of off-season coverage, man, because that might be what we're limited to.
Thank you very much, Nas, for stopping by. We appreciate it, man. We hope to see you next week on Monday before the show right before the draft. All right, man. Sirius, I'm going to come over to you. Give me a final thought here. I know you got into the building a little bit late. Anything that you wanted to throw out there here before we get out of the kitchen tonight?
All right. No, man.
Sorry, I had some.
Yeah, anyway, my fault, man. You know, it's always a pleasure to get in with you guys, man. And, you know, I try to get in when I fit in. I'm going to leave you guys on a somber note, man. Rest in peace, Karl-Anthony Towns' mom. You know, man, she was another person whose life was cut short due to this pandemic. It sucks. It sucks. So, again, I hate closing the show, you know, with that, you know. But, man, definitely take necessary precautions to be safe. You know, it's, you know, we want to get back to normalcy as much as possible. You know what I'm saying? So, again, rest in peace, you know, Miss Towns and the whole Towns family, man. It's unfortunate, man. With that being said, man, it's your boy, Sirius, repping that 412 and the 703, man. You can definitely hit me up on any of my social media platforms. I'll be looking forward to jumping on here again. Should the good Lord, you know, allow such, man, I'll be easy, man. It's been fun.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Sirius. And you know, it's definitely important to not only recognize but to honor those that are no longer with us. We said it earlier in the show, but we'll say it again. Rest in peace to Tavares Jackson, the former Viking / Seattle Seahawks quarterback. He was in a one-car accident and did tragically pass away yesterday morning. So, James, I'm going to come over to you. Give me a final thought, close out here before we head out of the building tonight.
So one thing I want to talk about real quick is the Minnesota Vikings, which I think we might have missed. So Minnesota Vikings, big needs, guard, cornerback, linebacker, pretty much everything, because of the fact that they've gotten rid of a lot of their high cap players, and they're going to need to retool really, really quickly. And also, probably a quarterback of the future would not be the worst thing for the Minnesota Vikings. But always enjoy it. And next week's the draft, and I'm super hyped. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thank you very much, James. I do appreciate that. Ty, I'm going to come over to you. Give me a final thought here before we head out of the kitchen tonight. I appreciate you showing up along with everyone else.
Yeah, man, definitely. Yeah, sorry to show up late, man. I've been going through a tough time right now. I lost a childhood friend this morning to COVID-19. So shout out to my boy Shorty, a.k.a. Sean Evans, man. I've been going through a lot. But
came to the kitchen nevertheless to get up and do something different, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't even know it was the NFC North, so it actually lifted my spirits even more than what I needed to. And this is something that Shorty would talk about. If you look on my wall, you'll see he was a running back. I grew up watching him since I was a kid, and he graduated class in 94, all FCAC, well, all county running back, you know. But nevertheless, I'm thankful to be here with the fellas, do something, you know. Glad we're talking about the NFC North. I'm glad somebody else see that Stafford needs to be moved. People get stuck on stats and stuff. Finally, you get a realist in there. So we'll continue this up later, and definitely next week. I know it'll probably be draft, so I want to see how that goes here in the kitchen. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
All right. Thank you, PP. Well, Norm, it's just me and you, buddy. Man, tonight has been a very interesting night. We had Nas come in and stir things up with the Matthew Stafford comments. We had Mr. TP Timeless, the founder of Sports City Chefs, in here with us. James Greenwood stopped by. We always appreciate that. Sirius stopped by to talk a little football. And then Vito. Vito came in. Don't forget about Vito, Norm. He came in to not only talk football, but some politics as well. It's been a busy night in the kitchen, man. Any final thoughts here before we get out of here?
Yeah, you know, as you go through all these teams and you talk about their situations and status, I'm just a big person on record looking at coaching for these teams. You know, you can draft all the great players, you can have all the talent, but really everything starts at the top, and you can even take that higher to ownership and what have you. But really, I look at coaching, and I'm never a fan of new young talent coaches because they need to come in and they need to prove themselves, and it's double fold for them. A new coach has to come in and they have to win early, and they have to like turn people's heads to get people to realize, oh, this guy may know what he's doing. And if a young coach can come into a program, and when I say win early, they got to win in the first 2 years. They got to show something. When they do that, they earn the respect of the veteran players, and that's when you can start to build and create an environment. But all too often, you don't see that. You see a lot of head coaches coming in. They don't have enough time to really develop what they wanted to do, and they're out, and then here comes the next one. And you know, if you're a fan of a team out there that has a new coach, the one thing I can say when I look at the history of new coaches, the ones that stand out to me as the ones that kind of came in are the ones that play defense and run the football. Because that's how you start it off, and then you start building off the play action, and then you start spreading it out the way you want. So that's where I look at a team like the Detroit, tons of talent in Stafford, never had the opportunity, poor coaching his whole time.
Yeah, that's a good point, Norm. Well, next week we will talk about the news and notes from around the NFL for this past week. We're also going to hone in a little bit on the draft itself, Norm. We'll probably talk about some of the things that are expected to go on for the draft. We might even talk a little bit about this virtual OTAs that the NFL has been talking about, so we can give the listeners a little bit better look into what that should look like. I just want to say thank you to family, to friends, to listeners that have been tuning in. We appreciate it. Continue to download on Apple iTunes. You can also check us out at blogtalkradio.com. You can also go to our website at sportscitychefs.com, where we have news, information, and content there. From all of us here at the Sports City Chefs, we're out.